I think what I like is that during a Road to Mastery, something magical happens, because when people join and they share in the challenges that they have, many will say that they either experienced the imposter syndrome challenge and they're looking for, like, you know, what does it mean to be a good Scrum Master? How can I be a good Scrum Master? What's a template for being a good Scrum Master? What should you be able to say or do and know? But as the journey progresses, you know, I kind of guide them to look at it from a different point of view, is that there is no template, no role for you to play. You know, it's a set of accountabilities and you get to design how you get to live and act on. If I look at my life, who have been real leaders to me, they weren't those kind of people. People close to me, it could be, you know, colleagues sitting next to me who said maybe a couple of empowering words to me that made me do something courageous I otherwise wouldn't have done, and led me to be in a better place than I was before. So, and that to me is leadership. What does leadership really mean to you?
To me.
Because it can mean different things to different people. But what is, I'm just curious to learn what inspires you in a leader?
Hi, I'm Maria, and this is the Agile State of Mind. Welcome, and welcome to the Serious Scrum Conversation, where I talk all things Scrum and Agile with my Serious Scrum colleagues. Today, I have with me one of the founders of Serious Scrum community, Stuart Nyland. Welcome.
Hey, Maria. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm glad you could make it. And we will talk today about a very interesting topic for many of you, which is certifications, Scrum Master certifications, and Road to Mastery, which is a Scrum learning journey that Nyland created, and also the Scrum Master playbook. A lot of things about trainings, classrooms, experience, and what it is to learn something new nowadays. Yeah. Anything you would like to add?
Well, just grab your popcorn.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Before we go to the trainings, I would like to just stop for a moment and talk about Serious Scrum, because thanks to Serious Scrum, I met the most interesting people in the field of Agile and Scrum. And I am now starting to meet you all via Zoom because we are doing this conversation. But I have been a member of Serious Scrum community for the time that I have the channel. And I have a lot to appreciate because it's a huge community over Slack where we talk. We also write articles and help each other. We do pull requests for the articles, so we review each other's articles. And it's just so great to be able to collaborate with other people passionate about agility and Scrum. And I would like to ask you, how did it start? I already talked to Willem, and now I would like to also see your side of the thing. Could you share a little bit how you came up with the idea and what it is for you?
So yeah, what it means to me, it's what you mentioned, the community, the people. And it's really, you know, the fundamentally agile about helping each other find better ways together, you know, as professionals, sharing experiences. Yeah, we're here to support Scrum practitioners who are serious about Scrum, to share what works, what doesn't work, what's good in their experience, what's bad, you know, how to introduce Scrum to your team, what's all this stuff about Scrum values, and any kind of question that or challenge that practitioners face in their day-to-day jobs. So
I think, I think one of the most valuable things about the community is that those are real practitioners, right? Which you just said, that it's not about the theory, like, oh, what does it mean to do Scrum? Should I do the retro this way? Or like, should I call it a review or a demo? Which are... At some point,
it's also
asks,
that, but it's
exactly,
it encompasses
it's also that
so much more. Yeah,
it's some, but that behind that, there's so much more. Like, what is the value actually you are adding to the team? And maybe for your team, it doesn't matter what is the title, you just want to provide value and make sure everybody shares what they did, right?
Yeah, and it's the people, right? Like you said, that's what I think is really valuable. Just meet great people, lots of diversity. It's global. So there's so much to learn that I really welcome, and I'm glad it got to grow out to be like that, because of course when we started we're just small, and what really kind of brought us together is that it was quite difficult to find really good content about Scrum to actually find useful material that practitioners shared about their challenges and their jobs and Scrum. Lots of content was out there, but that was just spreading misinformation about Scrum, or developers explaining how their challenge for Scrum or Scrum Masters having these difficulties, but we wanted to create a home where if you go there, you'll find good content about Scrum. This is where the real people are at. This is where they come to talk and share. And this will actually help you improve in the game of Scrum. And sometimes also to complain about a little bit. That's also part of it.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's the intention that to improve, to find better ways, to create like this safe space where professionals can openly talk and discuss these things and really come together. And that was really missing. There were communities out there, but either very reserved or just, from trainer to practitioner, not necessarily between practitioners. The community practice kind of emerged from the content we were sharing. So that's the origin.
Oh, true. That's like a community of practice, just very big.
Very big, yeah. But within it, we have kind of smaller communities of practice too. Like, people come together, they form, I call them travel groups, but they're also called like cohorts. So yeah, that's people find each other, right? And they help each other. Yeah,
the great value of that. And also you started doing some kind of an unconference format, right? And there was the first edition, and now we are also preparing the second.
Maybe even the third one already.
Okay.
So we're preparing a physical one too. Mm-hmm. And we kind of had a conference, but more like a meetup in the starting year. What I really like about it is that, again, it's entirely self-managed by the community. We give a stage to members of the community who really deserve it, and everybody gets the chance to. And it's not just whomever the institutes or corporations put on the stage because, they're either important sponsors or commercial sponsors, whatever. The story is that by practitioners, for practitioners, that they value.
So I will share links to Serious Scrum community. And also if there is any links to like conferences and stuff, I will also be sharing them. We could move on now to the topic that we were discussing. And I would like to start from a very strange angle because I learn. And I don't have any like data to prove it, but that in the Netherlands is like the country with the most Scrum Masters per person, probably. And
probably, yeah.
Also people with certificates, like Scrum Master certificates. Do you think that has anything to do with what? Like why?
why that is? I think it maybe there's already like an attunement to the culture. Dutch people are famous or even infamous for being direct and open and
a bit
bold.
You are straightforward, but with a bit of sense of humor, which makes it a bit easier to digest.
Yeah. So there's already kind of that, I think, an open culture where, there's open communication between different levels of the organization and hierarchy, and self-management is already kind of valued in general. Doesn't mean to say that we don't share in the same challenges as anywhere else in the world, but I think that, that makes the playing field a bit, say easier, but it's definitely already kind of the ground. The terrain is already kind of there to enable it and to a degree.
I also spoke about this a little bit with Willem, and he was also saying that you can like give feedback to the prime minister and like people are just super... They consider themselves totally equal. There are countries like I'm from Poland and we like to be a boss or a director. We care about this kind of prestige or status to show. So I think that's
not to say that's not the same in the Netherlands, right? There are some people that do like that and some people to a lesser degree. And I guess the same in Poland, there's people who value equality and self-management and autonomy and also maybe, a sense of authority and maybe they get that freedom or autonomy from being in a position of power because they otherwise wouldn't get it. So that's what I often see. But then there's different ways to achieve that. So
yeah, true. So do you have any certificate?
I have a bunch, but I don't like to really. they're valuable for me in the way that they've helped me gain a lot of knowledge. And I also like to be validated for that in a way to show that, hey, you've put in the work, you do understand the material. So it validates to a degree your sense of professionalism to the material, to your profession. So my certificates are mostly with scrum.org, pretty much a full suite.
Okay. And those are not easy to get, right? The exams are really very in-depth, I would say, because I have the professional Scrum Master, the first one. And I remember I was actually very surprised how in-depth the knowledge was. And we had a very nice trainer. So he was very funny and the whole thing was kind of nice and experience was quite nice. So I would like to start with, maybe you could explain, because you have your own training, let's call, which when I started reading about it, it felt more like an experience rather than a training. It's called The Road to Mastery. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So the Road to Mastery is really a learning journey. It is an experience, but it's definitely a training, but maybe different than most people are used to. So it's not like the standard classroom teaching setting. We actually train by doing things together and learning from each other, right? So it's not the teacher doing all the teaching. We're building on the experience that people bring, because we bring on board very knowledgeable, experienced people who have stories to tell, who have knowledge to exchange. And, you know, and it also helps to develop relationships. And what I really value in this and I call myself a guide, not necessarily a trainer, because I guide them on their learning journey. But what's really valuable to me is that what I don't get out of the traditional 2-day classroom trainings is that we really grow together. Like, you observe and how people grow, and we can share all the outcomes that we achieve together. So that's real meaningful change, and we can really focus on the growth of each individual. There is time and space for that, because it's a long journey. It covers 3 to 6 months. So
yeah, that's the most impacting thing when you read about it. It's like, oh my God, am I here for like months?
Some are still together, like after 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, they get so much value from it. They just continue as a community practice, right?
So it means that you have some sessions where you also have like some theory, something about like, okay, the practical ways of how, what it means to work as a Scrum Master or an Agile coach. But you also have this, it's like you don't learn everything in 1-2 days and that's it, right? You have a few sessions and then you have some time to read, do something, and then you come back again and this way, right? Like, it's prolonged in time.
Absolutely. So again, what we do is we call it, we play together, in a sense that we make learning interactive. Both, we have a virtual and a physical version of the Road to Mastery, but the idea is that there is a theory, but it comes to life when people share their experiences about that theory and what it means to them, and they exchange that. So they build connections. You know, how are they connected to the material? What do they already know about it? Do they have any anecdotes with it? Then we can explore the concepts a bit further. What else can they learn from each other, but also learn from the theory? And what would it mean for them to put that theory into practice? What are ways they can do it? Because we go a little bit deeper than just the basic concepts, but we really can figure out how to apply it in their context, which otherwise wouldn't be provided. So that gives them that support. And then we draw conclusions together from that. So, you know, what was it like to try this? What did you learn? What did you unlearn? How did your organization react to doing this? What were the outcomes of that?
Nice.
So yeah, that's...
I have so many questions now. So one by one, who are the people that come to you? Are those junior Scrum Masters or people who have never done, but they want to switch to the job?
It's actually both, but we do bring people on board who already, you know, have practical experience with Scrum, and they can apply it in practice. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to get the value from it, because it really is about practice and experience. So, you know, it's not something that you can do if you're not in the field.
But if you are, let's say, the developer, and you are thinking like, oh, I like this Scrum and helping the team, and maybe I should switch, is Road to Mastery a way to like totally come from, you know, you already know something because you work as a developer. Is it possible that you can actually switch your career? It's like a boot camp that you can say, oh, I will do this, and then I will try to find a job, or like ask it my company to move me to a junior Scrum Master.
Yeah, definitely. So we've had people do that. The one criteria is that they can, you know, they are like already in an environment where kind of familiar with the challenges, and they're familiar with the concepts of Scrum.
Fundamental basic information they need to have.
Yeah, and then they have made leaps in their careers and within the organization, also beyond it. You know, it's not surprising that some people actually do change careers, because the not only this learning journey gives them, you know, much more confidence, I would say, and then, but also more, it provides networking opportunities. So
I think that's nowadays that's one of the most important things, right?
That's a secret, right? You know, if you want to know where to get Scrum Master at, you know, don't tell recruiters.
Yeah, true. I think one of the most important things right now, because also I see how everything changes, the way we learn and the way we used to just like read something, read books, or, you know, especially when we think about the universities and schools, everything, the way we used to learn totally changed. Now we have even this chat GPT that it can just answer all your questions. You don't need to look for them. You don't even need to Google them anymore. Mm-hmm. I think this way that you are explaining how you teach, well, it's not even teaching, right? You're saying guiding people through the experience of acquiring new knowledge.
Yeah, they train themselves, they train together and with guidance, of course. And what they're doing, no AI could do, right? You know, an AI can maybe pass an exam by answering questions about theory, but they can't go into the whole human realm of the full experience of what it means to have a job, to work in Scrum and have all these challenges, which are complex in nature, that are so dynamic.
How did you come up with Road to Mastery? What was your motivation?
Yeah, so the motivation was quite deep and profound in a way that I was, when I created it, I was in a place where I wasn't really necessarily happy. I wasn't quite frustrated, to be honest. I mean, I already was at PSM3 kind of level, which, you know, had practiced Scrum in a very good setting, good place, even before, I guess we even called it Scrum. We had self-management, we had cross-functional teams, we did work in a cadence, and that was kind of really natural. It's only after that I learned we applied Scrum because it made sense in that context and it worked. But, you know, after I experienced also how other companies struggle with it and how many of the things that made Scrum really chime weren't really there. You know, the values weren't lived, or the self-management wasn't really there. And it was just used as a, you know, in a very mechanical way to maximize productivity and, you know, force predictability in some wicked way. And that wasn't Scrum I knew. And I saw a lot of that in practice. And I know there's a lot of frustration there with developers and with Scrum Masters too. And of course, also that, like, the lack of real product ownership, that's a frustration with product owners, right? So that autonomy, that. So there are lots of struggles. And I was in the midst of it and had my PSM3. And you know, what you do when you go on the certification journey, so to speak, you build up all this knowledge and you assess all your knowledge, but that creates a massive knowledge gap between where you are and where your organization's at. And that's a pretty frustrating gap. Very difficult to bridge. And this is so painful. And I'm definitely not the only one that experiences that pain and that frustration that comes with that. But I also felt like ill-equipped, like how to deal with that. And I, you know, you don't get the answer from a classroom, you know, on how to deal with that. You don't get the support on how to deal with that. You know, for me, that frustration led to a point where I thought, well, maybe I should do something different. So I talked, had my own coach, kind of my more of a life coach or job coach. And I did this assessment about, you know, what kind of job other than what I'm currently doing might fit my personality. And, you know, at the top of that list that emerged from a questionnaire was a travel guide.
All right.
So, of course, you know, a travel guide would be pretty tricky for me at that point in time because, you know, I just settled. I have a family of young kids and that wasn't really feasible. But the job coach asked me, like, isn't there a way you could make your current job more like that? Because what you like is you like to explore. You like to share your experiences with others. You like to do things together with other people and have a meaningful experience. And you like autonomy and freedom. And you like kind of this journey element to it. So then I thought, well, that's not a big leap to make. The Scrum guide is there. Like guide is already part of being a Scrum Master, guidance. So then the idea came, like, maybe you can create a learning journey. And I can guide people on an exploration through, you know, everything that could help Scrum Masters in their journey.
That's nice. Yeah. I really love your story. Because, you know, I think there's so many people who have this kind of struggle, like they feel they could do more or like provide more value if it were a bit different, if they weren't stuck in this career or not even a career, like in a company, especially now that we have this recession dooming and everybody's like super anxious, I would say, and having this kind of your own way and we can see in behind of you the Road to Mastery. I find it awesome that you could pull it. So is it your full-time job right now, or do you also do some other?
Yeah, well, I also you know, coaching consultancy. I will do training also with Xavier. So it's quite broad. But it's the part of my job I love doing the most, because that's where, for me, I experience the most value, real meaningful outcomes. I also achieve that in on-site coaching, of course, and training people on the job, but also in consultancy, but or even in just giving 1 or 2 day classrooms for basic Scrum introduction or courses. But this is so much deeper than that. That's just so much more fun for me. It's more me, right? It's just also that. And because I put my energy and my whole being into it and have so much fun, other people also share in that energy and give it back to me. So that's really what makes me a happy person, I think. Lucky nice. Also.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
Wow, that's now I understand why there are so many allusions to like travel and journey. Yeah. I was reading your LinkedIn. But now it all makes sense.
Yeah. But it is the road to mastery Scrum. Is also it's also the essence of what Agile means, really. It's if you look the first lines of the Agile Manifesto, it describes agility. It's about helping each other find better ways. That's nice. It. In a nutshell.
I love it. I think
what we're doing every day.
Yeah, there will be so many people jealous of your career right now.
I think what I like is that during a road to mastery, something magical happens, because when people join and they share in the challenges that they have, many will say that they either experience the imposter syndrome challenge and they're looking for, like, you know, what does it mean to be a good Scrum Master? How can I be a good Scrum Master? What's a template for being a good Scrum Master? What should you be able to say or do and know? But as the journey progresses, you know, I'm kind of guiding them to look at it from a different point of view, is that there is no template, no role for you to play. You know, it's a set of accountabilities and you get to design how you get to live and act on. So what we do during this course is we design it, because the way you're going to be a Scrum Master is going to be different from me, you know, and different from you. It you know, we should apply our own authentic personality to that. So we're just going to design the way we're going to live out accountabilities that matches also the context within which we work, and we make it ours rather than adapt ourselves to some kind of archetype that we think it should be. We instead make it authentic. And I think also that's what true leadership means, a little bit, being true to you.
Yeah, for sure. And that brought me to when I started once, and I know everybody probably in serious Scrum community have an opinion about sex, but a few jobs back, I was working as an RTE, and that was a first for me. It's the release train engineer, which is like Scrum Master of Scrum Masters. Yeah. And it's, again, either you do it as per book or, and I remember I was stuck in like, I don't understand what this role is, until I got to a point that I stopped making it about myself and started making it more about helping the teams to achieve their goals and the value. And then suddenly the perspective changed, and I got unstuck from the point of, I don't know what, you know, the Scrum of Scrums, what that meeting is supposed to be. I feel like I'm in the spotlight and everybody's just waiting until I do something super cool. And I don't know.
Wave your magic wand. Yeah.
And I barely understand the product because I just started. So I remember that. For me, the shift was that it's not about me. I'm not the most important part here. Like, doesn't matter how I do it. I just want to help the teams. And it really helped me to like change the perspective. So I think that what you are saying as well, like, you come with who I am as a Scrum Master. How should I? No, focus on your job and then you will see what best fit to your character, right?
Yeah, add to that, you know, who you are and what you value, what energizes you, because, you know, when you can do your job that way with that energy, you know, that carries through to other people, and that's what makes it work. That's, I think, where, you know, maybe the secret is. It's not, you know, for me, Scrum isn't the solution. It's not tool. Being a Scrum Master isn't either. For me, those, you know, it's a catalyst for creativity, and it's a good way for me to express myself and then and exert the kind of leadership style that I think I am, or I like to do.
And then it's also so much more fulfilling. We are happier as people, right? Because we do what we love, and in the way that we can actually be ourselves. So this only could happen in the Netherlands.
Do you think
you have all these ideas because you are free? I think you have this kind of culture. I think we are catching up with that in the whole world. All the quiet quitting and everything, that the big resignation, it all happened because people started seeing like, my life will end someday and I will not be super happy when I'm thinking about what I did and how I spend it, right? So I think this is really creating this healthy way of being in the end.
And I think surprisingly, it's not the Dutch that come to this course. It's actually, you know, people from all over. We have Eastern
Europe. We want
Europe,
to learn from you.
America. They're there, right? So, and what I also like is they're coming to join it at their own intrinsic motivation. It's not that the company is sending.
Oh, so that's
forcing
also
people
probably
on this training.
A difference, right? That you get people who themselves pay for the training, the experience, because they find value in it, as opposed to the certifications that usually, in most cases, I don't know how many, for example, mine was paid by the company. So it's the companies that send people, they want the certificate. Yeah. That's a good moment to ask about that. Like, how do you feel? Do we even care about the certificates anymore? Who cares about certificates?
I think a lot of people will say or express themselves that they don't care about. Even I do, but we secretly do. Here's why. First of all, it validates our knowledge. It's actually quite fun to actually get them, because you have to solve kind of like a puzzle, and then hey, it works. Like, you get a validation, you get a score, and that's a good feeling when you achieve that, I would say. But ultimately, we also know that it's not about the certificate, and there's no validation of experience. But we also know that it, you know, it's valued in the market. So I think lots of people do value it more than they might express. Otherwise, why are there so many people doing it? It's not just because the boss tells them to. There will be some people, of course, that their motivation, but I do think there is it creates opportunities for people, and I think that's good. But it's not the end of the journey.
If I would do a certificate, I would probably do them more with Scrumwork rather than the other one. And you have everything from Scrumwork. Is there a reason for that, or your certificate?
I don't think everything. Maybe a couple more to go, because they also come up with new ones. For me, I like the way Scrum.org does it, because they're very professional in its setup. It's not easy to get it. It's very well constructed, and they really promote a shared understanding, that really transparency and real empiricism. So it's a you know, that validation is something to value. You know, if I'd hire people for my company, it would definitely comfort me knowing that they've got these Scrum.org certifications. Or that's not to say that the other ones aren't valuable. They're potentially as valuable as that. And I also don't limit my certifications to Scrum.org. But it's quite high in quality. There are, of course, also down, like, I also see the challenges with it, because again, like, it's no validation of experience. Even PSM3 isn't a validation of experience, although they like to give that impression.
You think you can fake it and just somehow and not have any experience as Scrum Master and pass the PSM3?
I think it will be very difficult, but not impossible to do it. You know, be careful saying that, of course, but even now with all the AI developments, I don't imagine that to be an impossibility. And that's a risk, because that devalues the certification. And that's exactly why we need, you know, learning journeys like the Road to Mastery. And we see, like, since we created it, we see them popping up all over the place now, because, you know, I think more people are catching on to it. And we've shown that, you know, it is possible. There is value there and there is a need for it. And I think companies will catch on to this, because ultimately, what's more valuable, having a knowledgeable Scrum Master who just has his knowledge certified valuable, but what about a complete learning journey, which is more of a, you know, where people really grow and achieve real outcomes within their organization? So that's really where they upskill. So this is about, I say, four competencies. We have coaching, facilitation, training, like learning how to train or teach, and leadership. And that's not something you just assess on a quiz, like in a test. You have to develop these skills over time with the training, with support from peers, experts. I believe that. And I think that to be much more valuable to businesses.
For sure.
It does require more of a commitment.
Yeah, because when I think about it, it's very hard to become a leader if you have never led people, if you have never been collaborating with people. This is such a complex topic that sometimes I feel like it's very undervalued how we think about leaders, that we don't give them enough training or practice to become one and to understand what it means. And it's a complex topic. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that one of the parts of this journey is actually leadership.
What does leadership really mean to you?
To me.
Because it can mean different things to different people. But what is, I'm just curious to learn what inspires you in a leader?
Yeah, that's the thing, because you know, I always thought a leader is somebody who has like a bigger status and some more power and something. And then I realized that it's not true. It's more about taking ownership, and it doesn't matter what's your role or what actually is where in the hierarchy you are, because you can be leader even if you are just you are a team member and you just started. Yeah. You are a junior team member, but you take ownership and you see things and you are like, I would like this to be better. I think we can improve here. And this is leadership and like leading by example. Like I will just do what I think is good, because and I think this is valuable for others. And that's my answer.
Yeah, that's a wonderful answer, because that's so true. You know, that having that sense of that real own and owning up to your accountabilities, but also helping other people, I think, grow and seeing other people for who they truly are, could be helping them be who they could be, is also a part of leadership. And I think that that's also maybe culture. I don't know, I'm assuming, but in Dutch, we also have a nice word called leidinggeven, means giving leadership. I like to think of it, I help other people become a leader. You know, I want everyone in Scrum team to be a leader. You know, when I empower other people, it's about empowerment, like, you know, empower other people. I can't give power away that I don't have. So I need to be in an empowered position to be able to empower my team. So I need to be an empowered and respected member in the organization. And the better I can do that, you know, the more of that I can pass on to my team members. And the better leaders they become, ultimately, the better leader I'll become. So in that sharing, and I don't think that many people see it that way, and it's maybe my own warped perspective of it, because sometimes leaders, they just think of, you know, hierarchical managers with lots of power and dominant positions. But I look at my life, who've been real leaders to me, they weren't those kind of people. There were people close to me, it could be, you know, colleagues sitting next to me who said maybe a couple of empowering words to me that made me do something courageous that I otherwise wouldn't have done, and led me to be in a better place than I was before. So and that to me is leadership. But again, it's figuring out also for yourself what that means. And then unfortunately, too often people try and emulate the leaders they encounter in their lives that weren't necessarily good or true leaders. It's just only leadership they've been exposed to. And they start emulating that in an inauthentic way. We also know what it's like to have been led by such a person who is not authentic, who were playing games, who, you know, you could see were acting up and didn't really see you or care in that regards. And is that then a leader? Even though they in that position power and they have position power over me and influence over me, for me, I wouldn't call that person a leader.
That's a very interesting topic. And yeah, I think we are, our time is up. I had so many more questions, but I think this is a very good way to finish about what we really consider a leader, and sometimes just stop to think whether what we are sometimes, it's like with parenting, you know, I always compare it to parenting because we have sometimes our automatic responses. And I sometimes catch myself when I say something to my son and I'm like, why did I say this? I don't think it's nice to say this, but it was what my mother or my father was telling me all my life.
Yeah.
Like, not
you
something really
that,
bad,
right? So,
but exactly. It's just so much in my head that I don't think and I just say it. And then I'm like, do I want to be this kind of mother? You know, and then it's the same about
the same
leadership.
Goes in that position of you know, even as a Scrum Master, you know, sometimes people they use this analogy of, they kind of play into the parent-child metaphor and saying, well, I'm helping my team mature, or we have a maturity model, or, you know, I'm more like a mother to the team. And that's very dangerous because you're smothering the team rather than enabling them to be, you know, empowered individuals, because they, you know, you have mature people on your team. They're adults. They can solve complex challenges in their lives. They've grown. They've, you know, they've gone through all of that. Some have processed traumas, you know, and they are capable individuals. And it's not about maturing them. It's about, you know, mastery in a way that we the upskill. It's about empowerment, you know, professionalism, but it's not about maturity.
I like that, because I was using that, and I remember somebody was saying to me, like, you know, we don't consider that people are immature anymore. So if you're saying, you're implying somebody's immature because you want mature teens, but now I understand it's more about mastery and
empowerment. I used it also before, but I also always felt when I used it, there was something off about using it or something. Like, I wouldn't like if I were to be framed in that way as a team member, like, oh, we're an immature team. What do you mean? Come on. Is that gonna inspire me, encourage me to? And often, you know, what it ends up with is those models that we try to model and shape people. And we maintain that paradigm, you know, because if I'm the, you know, I'm needed as a parent, that idea, but you know, that's not what a scrum master should do. You know, you don't do anything that they could do themselves, you know, where they can become, you know, able to do themselves, because they need to learn and try, and you know, you don't want to tell them how to do that. Yeah. But many do, and that's a problem.
It's very the same for the managers. It's like babysitting instead of giving the team the empowerment, give them the role and like teach them to fish, right? And it's still happening so much that people think, no, you know, I will just do it for you. You just concentrate on developing. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
This is wonderful. Thank you.
It was really great. And send me a link that I suppose you have like a global link for everybody to join the Road to Mastery. I will put it in the description below. And I think this must be such a great journey that I can imagine people are really, you know, what you just said, it's just so much different perspective on how you can learn about and get the knowledge and learn about being a Scrum Master and Agile Coach that can actually provide a lot of value to the teams. Mm-hmm. So this has been really interesting. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
And see you around in the community.
Yeah, you're doing wonderful here with this. I really enjoy it. And it's very professional how you do it, high quality. And I can be really, really proud of that. So keep it up.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.